Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
With the 42nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Kamari Lassiter, defensive back, Georgia.
Lassiter is position flex. He's played in the perimeter of the formation. He's played inside the formation. He plays with a linebacker type mentality. I mean, he's a corner, but he tackles. He's tough. He's physical. I'm sure there'll be a question about his speed and how fast he ran, but he's not slow. So, like, the speed really wasn't a concern of ours. So, the time's the time. But, like, we're drafting football players. You know, we're not drafting track teams. So, I know speed's important. I'm not saying speed's not important. But we don't feel that that's an issue for this particular player. And when you watch him play in the SEC, you don't walk away and have that concern.
6 foot, 190, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. Ron, I'll be honest. The way the second round kind of unfolded there for me, I got good and excited. And then when it came the Texans' time to pick, I watched the three picks ahead of them, and prospects went off the board that I would have loved the Texans to have gotten. And then they draft Kamari Lassiter, and I'm like, well, I guess I need to go do a little research. I guess I need to go do a little digging and find out what this guy's about. Now, look, here's the deal. The Texans are obviously in search of a corner opposite Derek Stingley, right? I mean, Jeff Okuda, former top 10 overall pick. C.J. Henderson, former top 10 overall pick. Both veterans have played some football, but for whatever reason have not lived up to expectations and have not been able to stick somewhere that they've been. They've been in multiple organizations, and for whatever reason, they hadn't been able to stick. Kamari Lassiter, do they draft him to be to compete with those guys and, again, be the corner opposite Derek Stingley? Or, as you heard Nick Caserio there, is Kamari Lassiter more of a guy with that linebacker's mentality? You heard that. When I started hearing GMs and coaches talking about linebacker mentalities and being physical on cover corners or cover defenders, I immediately think if it's a corner, we got to be thinking some nickel defender here. We got to be thinking some slot defender here. If it's a safety, and they start talking about that, okay, well, now we got to think about him being the strong safety and rolling down, covering some tight ends, playing the run kind of deal. This is a corner in Kamari Lassiter. And I view this a little different than Ron does, I think. But I view this first and foremost as competition with Dez King at the slot corner position. Based on, one, what you heard Nick Caserio say right there, and number two, I do think that that's where the need is on this football team in terms of depth, at least as you go into training camp. Is last year it was Tavier Thomas for a good chunk of the year, and then it was Dez King, and then it was a bunch of kind of mixing pieces in there wherever they may fit. Who's going to do it this week? Is it Ward? Is it Petrie? Is it one of these other cover defenders? A couple times it was backup third, fourth string corners that we're having to play there. I think Kamari Lassiter is a play as a cover defender, and you never know what's going to happen. He could end up outside, but I think initially it's a play as a flexible, from a position perspective, a guy that could play inside or out, given whatever kind of how this cornerback and cover defender room shakes out for the Texans.
Man, I sure hope not. Like from kind of what you just set up, my perspective is I have a good amount of confidence in Dez King playing that nickel position. I think he's been really good. I think he came close to making some game-changing plays where I think he got a tough whistle a couple of times last year. I liked him, and my eyes never confused me, even though the Texans tried to by their actions tell us that Tyvier Thomas was the better player. They ended up bringing him back, and it was clear. The first game he was back, he made more of an impact in the game than Tyvier Thomas. So I feel really good about
– You like him outside, right?
Who?
Lassiter.
Dez King. Well, I feel – well, to me, if you're drafting him and you're like saying, all right, maybe him to compete with Dez King, shoot, man, you better have somebody to compete to the outside. Yep. Because the outside right now is you have two failed busts that were top 10 picks that are now in their third teams, and they're in like year five, right? Like, so like that, like I don't feel good with the thought of, okay, Jeff Okuda, CJ Henderson, one of those two will take that outside spot. When you use the most premium pick that you have and you stay where you stayed to draft him when there were other higher rated corners on others' boards, maybe not yours, but more higher rated corners that maybe fit the outside role that we know played that, and you didn't draft him to go compete with those dudes. Because I feel better with, say, all right, they got a second round pick that they brought in to compete with Henderson and Okuda. I would not feel as comfortable if they brought him in to compete with Dez King, and that competition outside is with those two. That one, I'm not sure. So I hope he's looked at as an outside.
Yeah, no. Look, you may very well be right, and I would be. It would turn me on a lot more if that were the case. I'm just listening to Nick, and I'm looking at the guy, a guy that did play inside and outside. I'm listening to what the GM is saying. I'm looking at this going. Clearly, they feel like CJ Henderson and Jeff Okuda are at least an answer outside. I don't know how convinced, truth be told, I don't know how convinced they are on CJ and Jeff or Dez, to be honest with you. Hell, they cut him and brought him back. And anyway, Kamari Lassiter, I do think when it's all said and done, I know Nick throws around this position flexibility a lot, and we you know, push back on it and laugh about it a lot. I think this is a legit situation where there is one of two positions where there are potentially two positions where this guy can help. I don't know where it's going to be. But I would expect to see Kamari Lassiter at some point in a heavy rotation at one or the other.
Well, I guess let me get this from you. You watched a lot of play at Georgia.
Yeah,
you watched him play a lot over the years. Do you get the sense that you have concerns about him being an outside corner in the NFL? Is that what's kind of pushing you towards the inside, or more just what they said?
Well, you're bigger, more physical corners that don't necessarily run as well, which I know football speed's different than 40 speed. You know, that guy, if those are like the evals on him in college, he's going to have a hard time playing corner out of the gate, outside corner out of the gate in the NFL. Now, again, unless he's just a second round, just a phenom that slipped and ends up being a guy that at the line of scrimmage can, you know, jump press guys and press them into the turf kind of deal. And kind of like we saw, what's old buddy's name and that just went to the Titans, the top corner this year?
Sneed.
I mean, you know, we saw him somehow jam Tyreek Hill into the damn turf, to the point where Tyreek Hill even had a meme about himself, I believe, on social media. I mean, it can happen. I don't have any concerns. I think it's going to be easier for that youngster to get on the field behind Dez than it is outside with those two former top 10 picks competing for a spot. Well, I hope like hell I'm wrong and you're right and you're closer to what the truth is, because if he's outside competing and he's pushing those guys, then they got a hell of a steal. Here's my good. This is get you good and worked up. Let me get you good and worked up real quick. I really fell in love with the kid when I heard Kirby Smart talking about it. And this is the Georgia Bulldog head coach Kirby Smart, who obviously coached Kamari Lassiter. And, you know, Kirby is a DB guy. Kirby is, I know he's a head coach, but Kirby is very involved in the defensive side of the football, particularly in the secondary. It's what he's always coached. Here's Kirby Smart on Kamari Lassiter, the new Houston Texans DB.
Kamari Lassiter had a 1-2 grade, first, second round grade, and Kamari had to make a tough decision like all these other people. And I called Kamari in and I talked to him and I told him, Kamari, you should come out for the draft. That's my opinion. You're one of the top corners in the draft. You got to make that decision. Okay, that's one decision. Then the second decision is you got to decide if you want to play in this bowl game. I don't know that you got a lot to gain in this bowl game, Kamari, but I do know who you are. And I do know how you practice, and I do know how you lead, but I'm not going to be disappointed in anything you decide. He came back about 3 or 4 days later, and I met with him and his mom and talked to him and fully expected him not to play in this game. He called me 2 days later, said, Coach, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sitting out. I'm over there coaching. I can't do it. I want to be out there. I want to play with my guys. And I think he did it against his mother's will, to be honest. Now, I don't know that, but I think he did it against his mother's will because that's who he is. So all these teams that go shopping, this dude right here wants to play football. That's all he cares about is playing football and his teammates. He ain't worried about the next thing and all that and all that. He said, I want to play football, and he played football for the University of Georgia. And he did it when he didn't have to do it. And that's what's different at this place than a lot of other places. Thank you.
I don't know if it's different at Georgia, but it's definitely different for Kamari Lassiter. We're in a day and age where – we call these kids crazy for playing in games that don't mean anything. We give every excuse under the sun when a guy decides to sit out a year or sit out a bowl game, and that's fine. To each their own. I understand there's millions of dollars at risk. But with that said, when a kid loves the game and loves his teammates so much that he wants one more swing at it, one more opportunity, and the game is for absolutely nothing. This is the year. This year they played the Florida State Seminoles, wasn't it?
The hell out of them.
So it meant absolutely nothing. And a lot of people will minimize it. A lot of people will poo-poo it. To me, it means a ton. I love that mentality. I love the fact that the kid played. I don't like the fact that he went against his mama's wishes, if that was indeed the deal. But to me, this speaks volumes. It's not something to just kind of sweep under the rug.
And we know it's something that speaks volumes to the Texans. I think if you follow Caserio and D'Amico, like I don't necessarily think that they, you know, give a strike to a player that didn't. But I do think that because Will Anderson did it. He did it in the Sugar Bowl against Kansas State, where he had no reason to play in that game. But he came back and played in that game. I think that was something that they really, 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 really liked in his character. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool thing because I'm telling you right now, I sure wouldn't have.
It's just commendable.
It is commendable.
If I had millions of dollars on the line, I don't know what I would do.
I just keep showing him that video of Notre Dame against Ohio State.
Right.
And what's my man's name? Is it Jalen Smith?
Jalen something Smith, yeah. Yeah, look, it obviously is a business decision, but I'll be honest with you, it would be hard, man. Especially when
I definitely would.
It's like if I could just say, hey, coach, I'm not playing, I'm out, and just leave, that'd be cool. But apparently some of these guys go back and they stay with the team, they go on the practice field, they stand around and coach a younger guy. Like that absolutely wouldn't happen. There is no way on God's green earth that I would be able to go do that and not play. Legitimately go back on my decision and say, Coach, I gotta get these pads on and play one more time with the fellas. If I could bounce and go to another city and train or something, maybe. But that way, I got respect for the kid for playing, and it's a hell of a story after the fact, knowing that he obviously didn't get injured. On another note, that's the Texans' second round pick. Have you guys heard the Colts general manager Chris Ballard? By the way, He's my favorite general manager in the league. I know that pains some Texans fans just because it happens to be the Colts, but he is. I remember coming face to face with him the Lovie Smith year. And, boy, I didn't realize that both Colts games were so controversial. The Lovie Smith year, the first Colts game that was here at NRG Stadium, everybody, you'll remember because it's when Lovie Smith settled for the tie. Right? That was the year the Colts, I believe, had signed Ryan, and they had hopes of having a good year. And it's and I believe it was either week one or week two when that I think it was hell it was week one, wasn't it?
Week one. Tie and then I run went to hell.
I come out of the press box and I'm going to the elevator and I come face to face with Chris Ballard and he is MFing those soft MFers on that field. He's talking about his team ultimately. And I thought, okay, Chris, I like a little fire. I mean suited and booted, entourage behind him, clearly security, and he is sounding off. And I just happened to be standing there and heard every single bit of it. So start there. Well, they draft the A.D. Mitchell kid, Mo City Mitch, local kid, out of University of Texas.
Rich Point.
They draft him, and apparently there was some unnamed sources that were spreading some negative reports about this kid. And Chris,
I just can't keep up with how many people are trying to run down these kids.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, I don't have to sleep at night. But nonetheless, Chris Ballard's pretty passionate about it as well. Here's Chris Ballard really defending the reputation of A.D. Mitchell, the kid that they drafted. Was it first round? Second round, right?
Second round
in Indianapolis.
Pick 50.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the bull that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language. Our typical league, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such bull. I mean, it f-ing is. It's bull. Like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if people out there can tell me they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for those reports to come out, like, you know, I said it last year. It's bull. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
I love that guy.
I don't, but I do.
I love that guy.
There's nothing about him that seemed like he was going to stop cussing.
He ain't the least bit sorry. I think we need more of that. We need more of that. I mean, it's getting out of control, Ron, to your point before we play the audio. I mean, just it's crazy the amount of people that attempt to run these kids down, whether it's trying to get another team to pass on them so your team can get the pick or whatever it may be. It's crazy that in our world, the unnamed sources are still a thing. I mean, you got some of the highest paid reporters, if you will. What is that called? What is that called? Breaking news? Yeah. Reporters in the game that still use this unnamed source or, you know, sources say, I mean, it's just, it is unbelievable that anybody under the sun still puts any kind of, or even remotely puts any kind of credibility into those reports and those people that constantly do that.
Especially, and some of you will laugh it off or say whatever, especially when it's to me like kids in college that are coming in to the league. If you, like, you don't have any problem saying, oh man, his speed is not maybe where you want it to be or anything. When you start going personal, talking about personal stuff like that, put your name on it.
Yes, I agree. Or don't say it.
Yeah. Don't like that. That's one thing. Like, I wouldn't even trip about you. Put your name on it.
I got into a heated argument one time with a guy, a reporter that's done that in the past. And it was, I don't know, about 3 years ago. And their point was, well, I'm just trying to protect my source. Like, I don't want my source to be out. I said, well, then you put your name on it. Like, if you trust your source so damn much, you just put your name on it. You don't need to out your source. Yes. Right? I mean, just put your name on it, and this is what you know, and this is what you experience. This is what you. I mean, it's easy. If you trust your source so much that you'll report it, then put your name on it.
Yeah, it bugs the hell out of me. It really does. All right, who's gonna have the heart to do it? Everybody over there at Minute Maid, just like everybody in this city, knows what needs to be done. Who is going to have the heart to do it? We'll discuss that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Little programming note here at the station on Sports Radio 610. The morning show, Payne and Pendergast, they have it for you Wednesday, 7:30 a.m. 7:30. Nick Caserio will join Payne and Pendergast. And
thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Sure, they'll be discussing the draft and what the Texans are going to be doing moving forward a lot. But 7:30 Wednesday, so set your alarms. Mark that on your calendar. The general manager will be on with Payne and Pendergast, 7:30 Wednesday. I'm going to be blitzed.
That big Nick energy.
That's right. You're going to be on your 40th birthday vacation.
I probably won't be drunk by 7:30.
I mean, you got you a run. You got you 3, 4, 5, 6 days off straight.
I might just dive.
You already talked to Red about this?
Yeah. Tomorrow's cardio day, so I walked out. He said, be ready to go tomorrow.
Get ready.
About calling in sick. I'm just kidding. I gotta hit that one. Just make myself feel better.
Yeah.
You gotta
on the way up to the takeoff, you gotta get as many as you can in.
Gotta just really.
Because you know you're just gonna you're gonna backslide big time when you're in New York.
Might. Probably will. No doubt about it.
What's the plan in the Big Apple, man?
I mean, food wise, I mean, of course, you know, I've come up in my head some things that I want to attempt. Gotta get some New York got the bagels. Want to hit the bagels?
Really?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Where you go in New York.
Bagels, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear they taste different there. I hear they're serious about it. Want a little pizza?
Okay.
Yeah, do the pizza there, and I want to do one of them big ass deli sandwiches, like the sandwiches you see, like what's the meat I'm trying to? Come on, Tyler. Corned beef hash?
Gabagool?
Yeah, corned beef.
You what?
Know. An idiot, man. I thought he was coming in.
Man, that's serious. A real thing.
Right. You know the hell I was talking about.
No, I don't.
Look, corned beef, the stacked, the real stacked high sandwiches. Yeah. Cats, like here, they got there. They should be good times, man.
You gonna do any shows or anything? You go to Jay-Z's 40-40 Club or anything like that? Or what's,
don't
what's
think,
up?
Don't think that costs too much. A couple of comedy shows. You know, do some comedy, go to the Comedy Cellar. Got a table there. You know, a little Yankee game action.
That's here. Right, Yankees.
You know, maybe a nice little walk, Central Park. We'll have a good time. Have a good time.
I hear they're letting Judge play volleyball is when folks are trying to turn two and stuff. Just kind of block the throw to first base.
That could hurt. Yeah,
I heard they're letting folks, umps are letting folks do that.
They may be doing that. Yeah, they should be. They should be doing that. But no, be a good 30. Set your alarm. General Manager Nick Casario right here, Sports Radio 610, Payne and Pendergast. All right, it's time. With the move that the Astros did today, will actually take an effect tomorrow. They brought up Joey Loperfido. The rookie who has played center field, first base, leads. Would you say really? He leads them all. Leads everybody.
Minor leagues and big leagues.
In homers, 13 homers, OPS over 1,000. Now he has a little swing and miss in him. He will strike out a bit, but you know, I think it is about time for them to give him a chance. There are two positions that he plays that they could probably use some assistance in, center field and first base.
Well, I mean, look, you're talking about a guy that's hitting roughly 280 with some power, with some impressive power, not just in the minor leagues, in spring training with the Astros. He had, I don't remember the number, but several, you know, multi-base hits. He just can swing it. And now's the time. I mean, here's the deal. You've got one guy at first base in Abreu that is broken. He's done. You've got a guy in John Singleton who, right now I'm settling for. I'm good with it. Let's see him swing the bat. Clearly they're not happy with Jake Myers in center field because everybody and their son is playing center field once again. It's a rotation. So I don't know exactly what the plan is with Loperfido, but I would imagine it's to replace Jose Abreu, and I'm here for it. You've got a guy struggling, and you've got a guy that has earned every bit of the opportunity to be in the big leagues.
See, when you say replace, I think he needs to be gone.
Yeah, you're talking about Abreu?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like okay completely, with that. Like not IL. Not that, I mean completely gone. I think that's where we are right now. And I think that the Houston Astros know it.
I agree.
It's April 29th. They're now taking, and remember, first base and him. This is a game he plays every day. That's an everyday position. First base every day. Man, he makes $20 million a year. He's already gone now to just splitting time, if not less time than John Singleton. And now they have called up this kid who they have been playing at first base in Sugar Land to come up. He's not a bench player. He's not somebody that you're going to bring in and feel good about it in the eighth or in the ninth. And right now, to me, it is just time to cut it. It's over. It is over with him. He's had a great career. As I said last year, borderline Hall of Fame career with what he has done, a former MVP, a guy who has been one of the best run producers in the sport for a decade with the White Sox. It is over, Clint. I just don't think at 9-19 you can sit here and think to yourself, man, we can wait on him having a comeback to the second half like he did last year. And I don't think he's done anything to make you think it can even happen. And you're making moves that let us know that you can't just keep running him out there. And if he's on the team and if he's in the clubhouse and on the roster, Clint, it's hard for you just not to put him in the lineup.
Right, right.
And I think you just got to remove that from Dana Espada from the jump and just let him roll.
Well, the saving grace here is you take it out of Joe Espada's hands. And I think that's very likely to happen because – It's not a problem that Dana Brown created. It's a problem that Dana Brown has to fix. If Dana Brown would have created this thing, in other words, if Jeff Bagwell was making decisions right now, and Jim Crane, which obviously he's the owner, but if he was in a position on a day-to-day basis where he was making decisions like this, they would be more apt to hold on and say, no, let's let this thing work itself out. Because they were the ones that made the decision, and either way you slice it, there's always egos involved. They're the ones that made the decision to bring Abreu in and pay Abreu what you're paying him right now, not Dana Brown. So as a fan, my hope is that Dana Brown looks at him and says, I don't give a rip what the hell, who the hell signed him or who brought him in. It's my job to fix him and to fix what's going on in Houston right now, and that is Lo Profito's coming up, John Singleton staying up, and those guys are going to play first base. Maybe even Lo Profito plays some center field. I don't know exactly what they're going to do. If it were me, I'd play him at first base in front of John Singleton.
Because he's going to have to get 3 weeks, a month of at-bats every day to give him a fair shot.
Yeah,
nobody stopping him from getting him.
At this point in time, there's no sense in doing it, making the move if you're not going to play him every day. Whether it's because you're convinced Jake Myers is not the guy in center field, or you're convinced, which it seems you are, that Abreu's not the first baseman and John Singleton's not the answer. Either way it goes, Lo Profito, when you bring him up, I would think that this is a story like we tried to paint about Jake Myers when the season started. You play him, you give him run, you give him a long runway, and see what he can do at the big league level.
Real quick, you too, real quick. They got a move to make to fit him on the roster. Do you think the move they're making is to move on from Jose Abreu?
No.
I don't either.
So their bench is going to be Singleton,
Bagwell,
Abreu.
Bagwell, veto that real quick.
I think he's broke, but I hope that's the move. But I think they'll find a way to wiggle around and make this thing work with keeping him
out
there.
And the only thing to me that would hold it is the pride of saying they're wrong and the money. I don't even know if the money is. It's just we're so
our heels are dug in.
Yep. Yep. I just don't know what his use is for this. All right. If you're excited about this draft, I think there is one major reason why. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
My man Ocho said, Ron, I ain't excited about this draft, so I guess I'm out for the next segment. I said, damn, Ocho. Oh, man, you ain't got to be like that.
Gotta stick around, because if you disagree, you got to push back.
The only place you're wrong is, yes, you don't need to be out this segment. Because I'm with you.
Listen, I will say this, and I'll let you jump and give your thoughts on this first round, because I know, I think I saw some people texting in and wondering, you know, Clint, what'd you think about it? I saw some people over the weekend saying, Clint, I was expecting to hear from you this weekend talking about the draft with John Harris and them, and I wanted to hear your thoughts. I'll just say this, in my opinion.
I didn't get invited, for the record.
In my opinion, I would just say this. You okay, though? You good?
Huh?
You good?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. All right.
In my opinion, and I we talked about this earlier before the show, Tyler, and I believe this. I think your feelings for this draft, for the Texans in particular, all are going to stem from how much trust you have in D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio and what they can do with players. That to me, if your trust is extremely high in those guys, I think you're really happy with the draft. If your trust is not as high as maybe others, I think you may have some questions with the draft. Because to me, there aren't any players on here that jump out in terms of, like, before the draft, where you're like, oh, yes, give me Blake Fisher. You know, like, I think last year going to the draft, people were excited about the potential, like Tank Dales. People were excited. People were like, and you got them to where it didn't matter who the GM is. You would be excited about those players that are on your team. And there were players we heard from and heard people text in, call in, talk about who they would like the Texans to get. I don't think I heard any of the players that are on this draft anybody talk about. Doesn't mean that the Texans messed up or screwed up the draft. I'm just saying there aren't any get your juices flowing, get you going. I saw Brandon Scott jump on to say, boy, that Cade Stover was the first and most exciting selection I saw in the draft thus far. Again, not to say that Gerard Jordan or Solomon Boyd or Marcus Harris or Ladarius Henderson or Jamal Hill won't work. I'm just simply saying, when you look at this draft and how it came out and the names and things that you saw going into it, you got to say, all right, I trust that Nick and D'Amico see something in these players that will make them great. And if your trust isn't as high, I think maybe you are not as confident in this draft. I think that's where it lands.
Yeah, I get your point. And I think you better be, if you're going to be happy with this draft, your ass better be high on D'Amico and Nick and D'Amico's staff developing these guys, because that's what you got. I choose to, like, I hope, like, in the future, even when the roster, like, look, the roster's built, it's more complete right now than it was last year. So I think just obviously there's going to be fewer players that you look at that are just plug and play starters. They're guys that would shine right now because there's voids of talent all across the roster. Clearly, this roster is built more thoroughly and more complete than last year. So I didn't expect every one of these guys to be potentially plug and play starters or big time contributors. But the way the first round went and the fact that so many guys got pushed into the second round that I thought would have been plug-and-play starters, big-time contributors immediately, I got my hopes up, Ron, that at least for one of the draft picks, I would not have had to say, I just hope D'Amico and Nick can develop this guy. I hope D'Amico can find the right place for this guy. I hope Bobby Slowick can get this guy involved in the offense and get some touches. Like, I hope there's enough balls to go around kind of deal. I hope the way that the draft shook out before the draft, I thought this is exactly what we're going to get. I thought we were going to get a several picks that were developmental, rotational players at best, and it was going to take a while for us to see the class of 2024 shine. And when the draft started, like I said, it shook me a little bit, got me excited. And now that I see the total package, I'm right back to where I started. I think it's going to take a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone texted in, I'm pumped about Bullock and Stover. Tackles are never going to be exciting. It went exactly how I expected. Don't underestimate the fan. That's fine. I'll just say this. There are positions, right? We talked about corners, right? We talked about all kinds of potential corners. How many times do you guys remember seeing people text in their discussions about Kamari Lassiter? What I'm saying is, right, like we talked to nobody talked about Blake Fisher. That one was just out. Like nobody talked about that. But like just these guys, Cade Stover, all these guys, I think there's a chance that they can really help this football team. I'm just simply saying, you're leaning on your belief that these guys will, like, they're, last year when you saw Tank Dell, many of you got to see Tank Dell a lot at the University of Houston. When you saw Tank Dell, you didn't need no help getting excited about Tank Dell. When you saw Will Anderson and they went up and got Will Anderson, you didn't need any help about getting excited about Will Anderson. I think you do. The bulk of you, most of you, I think you do. And as I said, I'm not saying the thing won't work or that they screwed up or they're wrong. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying this is a group in which you're like, all right, look like they took maybe some under-the-radar developmental guys. Because I'm telling you right now, if Kool-Aid was at the top of that thing, the feel of the draft would be a lot different.
Yeah,
be a lot different.
I would think that, like, if it was Kool-Aid, I would think, hey, you've got your corner opposite Derek Stingley.
This is a guy a lot of you all were talking about. This is the guy we talked about. This is the guy we were hoping to get. We were coveting. You were saying Kamari Lassiter.
Yep.
Or a tackle.
Yeah.
No, and by the way, I think, because Tyler said he's thinking in this form, in this mindset, I think it is well within reason and fairness to say, hell, man, I really don't care who they draft almost at this point. As long as the positions and stuff make sense, I don't care who they draft at this point. I believe that they know exactly what they're doing, and I will give them the benefit of the doubt that D'Amico knows what guys he wants in his system and what defensive guys he wants, and that Nick can evaluate. I think it's fair. They had a hell of a draft year last year, and now we're starting to see guys like Nico, you know, be a bigger factor in the first class. I get it.
Well, look, here's the deal. If we see any of these guys, if you see any of these guys early in the season, then this was a hell of a draft. Like, here's the deal. If Kamari Lassiter goes in there, and if Kamari does play outside corner and he beats out two former top 10 picks in the draft, that is an extreme long shot, by the way.
Shouldn't be.
It is. Kalen Bullock, third round safety. If a third round safety goes in there and beats Jalen Petrie, a third year vet, and Jimmy Ward, who D'Amico Ryans brought in here to be the leader, that the safety next to Petrie, if he beats him out and gets significant playing time, that is a grand slam third round pick. If Cade Stover's not a hand in the dirt, I'm going to maul guys type of tight end. Not yet. He may be one day. He doesn't mind physicality. He may be one day, but right now he's not. He's more of, hey, this guy, what he brings to the table right now is in the pass game. And he can get nasty in the run game, but I don't think it's something that you want to live and die by at this point in time. But if you just paid Dalton Schultz $12 million, I believe it was, a year. If he goes in there and he gets significant playing time with Dalton Schultz on this roster, that is an unbelievable fourth round pick. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, the thought of like Blake Fisher playing and beating out Tytus Howard or being a replacement, I mean, they're all future plays.
Yeah, except for Lassiter.
Lassiter's got a chance to play. I think Lassiter's got a chance to play inside. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he's the one that's got the biggest chance. But the majority of them are like, I would think, future plays. Now, again, if Lassiter or Bullock or one of these guys comes out and they're lights out, then you just can't keep them off the field. That's one thing. But I don't see these guys being like plug and play starters or competing with the starter.
Which is fine right now, and maybe that was where they were in the draft. I'm just simply saying your trust in those guys, I think, elevates your mindset of how you feel about this draft. Someone texted in and said that it's crazy because not one person had any idea who Stingley was besides a guy you can't stay on the field. Stingley was the third pick of the draft. Everyone knew who Derek Stingley was.
You're a Tiger, but now you're a Texan, man.
Completely different.
I mean, everybody knew who Derek Stingley was after when he was 18 years old, his first year at LSU.
And that was a name we were discussing at the time when it looked like the Texans could be looking at the cornerback. There were two top. He was one of the top two. I'm just saying, man. I've sat here for weeks. We've run through all kinds of receivers, corners, linebackers, defensive ends, D tackles. We didn't talk about none of these guys.
Hold on, show.
So, hey, just being honest, but we'll see what they come out and do. And I think it's fair to trust these guys. Coming up, we'll give you the latest report on Tank Dell and where he is after he was shot at a nightclub. Minor injuries is what we're hearing from that. We'll give you an update on that, as well as what happened with the Astros over the weekend. And the NBA playoffs, a big day yesterday and big games tonight. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.